We remember Moses in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before me nor since you have spoken to your servant. He says, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. In chapter 4, verse 11 of Exodus, he said in verse 11, so the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, and seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. So you see, even Moses was one who was very insecure about being able to speak publicly, speaking, you know, openly. Bruce can attest to this because he knows me, and he knows that he was my Aaron growing up, in the sense that, you know, isn't that right, Keith? And I'd look at Bruce, and Bruce would say, Keith says yes. Yeah. And I can remember, it was kind of a mixed bag because we kind of got thrown into the fire growing up, where we were put on stage and we were, you know, we played our guitars and we sang and stuff. But there was times when, especially in school and in high school in particular, that when my name would get called, you know, first of all, most of the time I was in La La Land when they called on me, so I wasn't paying attention. I didn't have the answer. That can be scary too. But so all of a sudden, it's just like I would almost get paralyzed with fear when I got called on, and I had to make I had this thing going on inside that, man, whatever I say, it's going to sound stupid. You know? Has anybody been there? Maybe you struggle with that now? And I think often if you believe that about yourself, if that's what you believe about yourself, then usually that's what will happen. I want you to think about that. What we think in our hearts often determines what happens on the outside. If you believe something about yourself to be true, you're actually sowing a thought sometimes. If you believe that, well, if I come to church tonight, somebody's going to snub me because they did last week. You know, you're coming with an expectation of something. Or it's going to be just another boring service. Now, here, I don't know if that's possible. But we've had people, I mean, young people, that have actually made a statement, and I'm thinking, huh? But a lot of it is a mindset. It's an expectation, a certain expectation that you come with. And so if we expect that when we open our mouth to speak for Jesus, that, you know, we're not going to be able to, or what we say is going to sound foolish, or it's not going to be right. If we come with that expectation, that is an expectation of unbelief in God's ability to do the impossible through us. Amen? And isn't it interesting that God chose people who weren't qualified in the natural to do supernatural things like Moses? He was a man that was insecure about his speech, and he said, you're going to be the one that I'm going to use. And of course, we don't know what happened, right? Because Moses continued to argue with God. He told him, okay, you'll have Aaron with you. We're still going to get the job done. I'm just going to have to divide it up here a little bit with you. Do you know, we can sometimes shortchange ourselves by unbelief as well. Whereas God may want to do a greater work through us, but due to our unbelief, sometimes it's going to be lesser than it could be. I want to, at the end of my journey, you know that I have kept the faith, that I have completed my assignment. I mean, fully completed my assignment. That I haven't fallen short in what God had expected of me while I was here. And one of the things that you and I are called to do is to be His witnesses. We are to be a witness for Jesus. And so, take comfort in the fact that it's not based upon your natural ability. As a matter of fact, often people's natural ability gets in the way of what God wants to do. I want you to think about that. Especially when it comes to the supernatural, sometimes it's the thing that we can control and predict that gets in the way of faith that says, God, I can't do this. I'm trusting you to do this. We can't manipulate God. Amen? We just need to yield and listen to his voice, do what he says, do what he does. And when he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he wants us to preach the gospel. Now, I know a lot of people quote St. Francis of Assisi or one of these has said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Yeah. Now, I understand what he was saying, that our character needs to line up with our conversation. That's very true, that we do need to live what we're speaking. But the problem with that is most people take that as an excuse not to speak for God. God has already called you and I to speak for him. And so if we feel an insecurity within ourselves, that's not a bad thing, but we should not be content to live with that insecurity and to yield to that insecurity. We need to draw deeper into God and to receive the grace that we need from God in our area of weakness. In that area where we can't do it, he can do it. You know, we've said it many times, in our inability is his ability. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means mercy seat. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love or complete in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. This is the key again, is that it was not that we first loved God, amen? But God first loved me. For God so loved the world. The love of God has been demonstrated for us in not just word, but in action, where he gave his only begotten Son to pay the price for the sins of the world. Amen? God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. And so we thank God that the gospel, amen, has come to us. We've been able to hear about the love of God towards us. We've heard the story. We've heard the message of Jesus and his love, amen? And how he had paid a price that we could never pay, because we owed a debt that we could never pay, amen? And so Jesus took our place on the cross. He paid our price on the cross. Hallelujah. So that the love of God could be poured out into those who have received his forgiveness, who have received cleansing from the blood of Christ. Whose vessels, whose bodies, if you will, this earth suit becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit that has been cleansed by the blood of Christ through the confession of our sins. Amen? Amen. Our faith in God. And then God pours his Holy Spirit into us. He gives us his comforter, the Holy Spirit, to abide with us forever. So that the love of God is now in us. The love of God must be shed abroad in us, just like you can have someone in your home and yet not have relationship with them. You can have a guest in your home and completely ignore them. But God called us into fellowship in the Spirit, to worship, to be continuing in our relationship with Christ. As we walk in prayer, as we walk in worship, amen? Then the love of God is released. The fragrance of Christ fills our lives, fills our hearts with His perfect peace that passes all understanding. Amen? That joy unspeakable, full of glory, and that perfect love. It's all about Christ in you, you see. It's not a thing of God. It's God Himself who is love, who is peace, who is joy. And His love is spread abroad in our hearts, which gives us a supernatural confidence. Why? Because it says that fear has torment. The enemy works through fear. God operates in faith. You can't have faith and fear operating simultaneously. Either you walk in faith or you walk in fear. When we walk in fear, we cannot operate in the supernatural. We want to demonstrate the kingdom. We have to step out of fear into faith and said, no, I'm not going to be controlled, amen, by that thing that tells me I can't. I'm going to step into Him who says I can do all things. I'm going to believe God. And when you obey God, when you rely on Him, when you call on Him, when you trust Him, He will come through for you. But we have to take the step. We have to open our mouth for God. We have to, if God says speak to that person, folks, we need to speak to that person. But what can I say? We can be like Moses, but God, I can't. I'm just not a speaker. No, you may not be an eloquent speaker. Neither was Moses. But God said, who made man's mouth? I did. And if I tell you to speak something, speak it, and I'll be with your mouth. I'll make it work right. You found that out, didn't you? It just started working right. God filled it. And so our confidence is in the power of God, in the fact that God is with us and that He's in us and that He's granting us everything that pertains to life and godliness, the strength that we need, it's in Him. The confidence we need is always in Christ. And when we step out and do simple steps of obedience, just simple steps of obedience to the Spirit of grace who speaks to our hearts and tells us, do this. When we step out for Him, then we will find that God was there all along. You didn't even feel Him until you obeyed Him. Sometimes the good feelings follow faith. I got into a conversation with someone recently about the same thing, that out of the mouth kept coming, well, I can't, God, I don't feel God, God must not love me, God must be mad at me, God must hate me, or, you know. And I said, if you keep saying those things, what you're doing is you're magnifying unbelief in your own heart. You're talking yourself out of faith and talking yourself into more fear and more unbelief. We have to watch what comes out of this mouth, and we have to align with what God says. And we need to speak faith. We need to say, God, but God says this about me. But God says, do this. If what's coming out of here does not line up with that word, then quit letting it come out of here. Amen? And even if it's a thought in the heart, folks, start to shift your thinking. And often you can change your mind by what you're saying, what you're subjecting, what you're listening to, even. Don't hang out with people that are pessimistic, that are negative, that are unbelieving. Get around people that believe God. Get around people that have faith, amen, in God. Get around people that have results in their walk. God gives us confidence. Our confidence is in God. His perfect love casts out all fear. We need to be speaking and walking, amen, with Him. But it's not enough. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. There must be a word spoken. When you speak the word, there's power. Amen? Amen. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And how are they going to hear unless someone is sent? Amen? John 10. Unless somebody speaks the word, they're not going to hear the message of Jesus and His love. And God will manifest Himself through His word. He will confirm His word with signs following. Just speak what God says. It can be simple. It can even be as simple as a gospel tract that you read to somebody. They use this gospel script now. You just read the gospel and people are getting saved all over the place. What would happen if you were to die today? Come on, God will confirm. If it's God's word, He will back His word up. Because it's not going to be of us. We're just the mouthpiece. But it's the Spirit of God that will back up the word. Wow. Why are we saying this? It's because God's people need to come out of the cocoon. God's people need to get out of fear and into faith. And once you start to obey God, and you do contrary to what even might be your natural nature to do, you will find that God will release something in you because you've been found faithful to obey Him. I have heard testimony after testimony of people who were totally terrified of speaking in front of crowds. And you know what? Most of the time, God's not going to necessarily put you in front of a crowd. He just may put you in front of one person. It's just a matter of doing what He says, speaking what He puts in your mouth to speak. Amen? And I've heard so many testimonies of people who just were terrified to speak to people about Jesus. There are a lot of Christians who are just terrified to speak to people about Jesus. And we have to break out of the cocoon of self-protection. Amen? Get yourself out there in the faith realm. Where now there's no turning back. I'm committed. God, I'm relying on You. Come on. And He comes through. He always comes through. And then you say, wow, that was fun. That was really cool. God says, go pray for that person. Oh, I know. What if nothing happens? Throw that thought right out.
Exactly.
That's unbelief right away. Just say, now I'm either going to operate in faith or in fear. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know something. Unbelief is fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fear that God may not come through. Mm-hmm. That God may not honor His word. Come on.
Wow.
So we got to believe what God says and step into what He says, do what He says, and then you'll find the timid and the shy, you know, will come out of their shell, and people will say, what happened to you? A lot of people, now some of you know me, I'm a quiet person. I'm not really that noisy, except when I get in front of people, and which was totally contrary, you know, but it's because of the anointing. It's because of the grace of God.
Amen.
And that's good because we want it to be of Him.
Yeah.
Because you and I can't, we know we can't do anything. We can't save anybody. We can't change anybody's heart. But we can be a mouthpiece. And God uses that word, folks, that spoken word, to destroy principalities, bring them down. Amen. That's why we praise Him. That's why we pray and we call out to God. Amen. And we pray the kingdom to come in. We call in that which is in heaven to the earth.
Yeah.
We speak it. Yeah. And because the words create an atmosphere. We're either going to create an atmosphere of fear or of faith. So we create an atmosphere by speaking the promises of God. And so I've counseled people who are very pessimistic and negative and down on themselves. Start speaking the promises of God over your life. Shift your atmosphere. Get out of fear and get into faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Saturate yourself in the promises of God. Amen. Fill up on that. Speak those things. Think on those things. What God says. Yeah, because otherwise, you know, we can talk ourselves into a bad place very quickly. Well, I knew that would happen. I knew that's the reaction she would give me. I knew he would say that. An expectation, see, of a certain response. I already know what's going to happen when I get there. They're going to do this. You came with that expectation. That's hard to say here, but I haven't got a clue what they're going to do when we get there. That's good. How many know I'm talking about expectations? Your expectation, if you're just expecting a thing, before you know it, you're actually sowing something in the spirit realm with an expectation.
Yeah.
People that get hurt, they get their feelings hurt in church.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now... wherever they go. I'm sorry, my pants are falling down. I keep pulling. Yeah, we can delete that part too. Isn't it true? I mean, we go, and now it's an expectation. I'm going to get more of the same. I'm leaving that church because there's too many hypocrites there. I'm leaving that church because nobody shook my hand. And so then you go into the next church, and sure enough, you're going with an expectation that nobody's going to pay attention to you. Get over yourself. But go with an expectation that I'm here to be a blessing. I'm not looking to be blessed. I'm going to be a blessing. And when I bless other people, I get blessed. That's how it works. So we have an expectation when we come. We expect God's going to move. We expect to see miracles. We expect to see people blessed, happy in Jesus. We expect that good things are going to happen. And when we come with the right expectation, because that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless us so we can be a blessing. But we have to cooperate with Him, get into position for that. And we have to change our heart attitude. Sometimes our attitudes sometimes are the problem. I mean, if we come in with, you know, we're all full of ourself and our problems and my what's wrong in my life. And, you know, how many know that I have problems too? You know, usually they're not major, but sometimes they are. But when I come here, folks, I'm not coming here for me. I'm coming here for you. And so I come to bless you. And as I do, God just blesses me. That's how it works. But if I came and I'm like, oh, let me tell you how bad it is in my world, in my life. Come on, you don't need that. I don't need to air my laundry. And sometimes we do need to talk to one another, amen, and get it off our chest. But ultimately, you need to take it to Jesus. The Bible says to cast all your cares on Him. So expect the right things. Amen. Believe that when you step out to be God's mouthpiece, when you say, I'm going to speak for God, I'm going to shift away from fear, and I'm going to get into the faith realm. And that means you have to step away from yourself. This is the key. This is what I've learned. That if I get up and I'm all about, I'm like kind of like just focusing in on myself. Man, I get like ate up real fast. But when I say, it's not about me, it's about you. I'm going to be God's mouthpiece, God's you know, extension to you. I'm going to be His vessel. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to minister to you. And when you do the same thing, amen, to others, you'll find that your light breaks through. Your dawn comes, amen? Your joy comes. Your peace comes. The people that do the best in the world, even non-Christian people, understand there's something about giving. There's something about doing good for others. That's why they do it. They understand that's a principle. That's an eternal principle. God's put it in the heart of man that we're supposed to take care of each other. We're supposed to love others. But we have been given the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven so that we can demonstrate the eternal God, amen, in this realm, in this world. Because anybody can debate about theology. They can argue whether the Bible's true or not. But when God breaks through and manifests and His power, amen, comes onto the scene, the argument's over.
Amen.
There's no argument. He's alive. Jesus is risen. And we are bearing witness to the resurrection. And we do that by stepping away from ourselves into the realm of faith where we trust God and we're going to see God's glory. We're going to see God's miracles. And when we speak to people, it doesn't matter where they are, you know, just be open and ready. If God presses you to speak to somebody, it may be a little awkward and a little uncomfortable. The hardest thing about getting started is what? Getting started. All you got to do is just get started. Just do it. And even the thought sometimes, see, it's just the thought that sometimes paralyzes. The thought of doing that can even bring fear. See, that's where we have to step out and say, no, no, I refuse fear. I will only operate in faith and in belief that God is with me, that He's for me. Amen?
Right.
And thank you, Jesus. And listen, if we suffer for Jesus, we should be rejoicing.
Yes.
It's not us that people are against. Amen? They're rejecting Jesus. It's sad, but it's true. But folks, we need to be in this place where we're so full of the love of God that our lives are not dear to us. We're not worried about ourselves anymore. All we care about, we love people that much that we're willing to suffer for others that they may be saved. Jesus suffered for us so we might be saved. God is calling you and I, and at times we're going to suffer so that others might receive life, that they might live. God's love is sacrificial love. God's love is a higher love. God's love is not conditioned on how others treat us. God's love says, I love you even if you spit on me. Even if you tear out my beard. Even if you flog me. I still love you. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. The love of God is what we need to be shed abroad in our hearts, to come up into a higher realm, a higher place, where there is a perfect love that casts out that fear. Amen? Where there is a supernatural boldness that comes on our lives. That's called the armor of God. It's called the glory of God. So we go deep into God's heart and we encapsulate. We say, Holy Spirit, overshadow me. Yeah. Help me, Jesus. I don't know what to say, but I'm asking you to help me, to come through for me. And He will. So don't worry about it if you feel like I can't speak, because you can. If God says to do it, you can do it. Some of you say, well, what if I lay hands on somebody and they don't get healed? Well, if you don't lay hands on them, they're not going to get healed either, right? Yeah. We just do what God says to do and leave the results up to God. We want to hear from Him. Obviously, we want to know what God is saying to do. But we know in part. We don't always know 100% what God's doing. So we just step out by faith and do what He tells us to do. But see, that's the fear. As soon as you step out and you say, well, I'm going to pray for this person. You know, God's telling me to pray for this person. I got to go pray for this person. The first thought you're going to have is, well, what if nothing happens? That's where you get determined and you say, no, I refuse that. I refuse fear. Fear has no place in me. I'm going to live. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. And sometimes, you know what, folks? I get a little loud when I pray for people, you know? But sometimes that's what helps me. To get out of myself and to cast off things that may hinder me. And I've found sometimes I'll shout at a situation or I'll shout at something that's going on in somebody. And I've seen results doing that. It's just got me out of that fear zone. And we have a warrior spirit within us. We are soldiers of the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Soldiers of the Lord. So we step out for Jesus. And when you step out of yourself, how many know that a soldier who's in a battle needs to step out of himself too? He has to overcome his fear so that he has takes courage. As God told Joshua, be of good courage, because I'm going to be with you. He told him to go in and possess him and the land. And so God's telling us as His people to go, take words with you, and speak into people's lives. Start declaring this very thing. The kingdom is at hand. Mm-hmm. Tell them. Speak it into the atmosphere. The kingdom of God is at hand.
Yes.
That's what Jesus sent them to do. He said, you say the kingdom of God is at hand. And then, He says, you lay hands on the sick and you heal them. You do it. God will work with you, confirming His word. And then you say, wow, God used me. How many here have seen God use you in healing? Mm-hmm. You've seen people healed because you laid hands on them, right?
Yeah.
All right. Isn't that good?
Wonderful.
And if you haven't, just start. Just get started. See, God wants to use you. Because He wants people to know that He loves them. And He's chosen you and I as vessels to do that. God gave you and I the authority on the earth realm. And kingly authority as well. We are kings and priests. And so as kings, that means what? Power to rule. Right? It means authority. To decree things. To speak things. And so when we speak with the authority that God has given us, knowing that He has called me to do this. He's called me to do this. He's backing me up. God said, go. I'm an ambassador on mission for my king. And I'm representing Him as a little king on the earth. And He's given me kingly authority to decree things, to speak to things, to speak to sickness, to disease, to demons. Take authority over them in Jesus' name. And when you do that, you'll see God will start to confirm His word. And He say, you're getting it. You're starting to get it. Just keep going. Keep working that. Keep praying for people. If you pray 100 times, they don't get healed. Keep praying for people.
That's right.
Just obey God. I think it was Sid Roth that said he had prayed 1,000, I don't know how many times, 1,000 times before finally it just started happening. Now listen, I don't believe that that's going to be the case. I believe that God is doing a quick work. I believe that God is right now at hand. His kingdom is here. Things are coming to a close. And it's time for the church of Jesus to rise up, take their authority in Christ's name that we've been given, take our authority as kings on the earth, amen, to represent the kingdom government of heaven, and to declare God is here. Amen? The kingdom is here. And then as we do that, the world is going to be saved. I believe the harvest is coming in. I believe we need to keep speaking over our city. We need to keep praying over our city. We need to keep declaring the praises of God over our city. We go down to the post office park and we decree and we declare the praises of God over our city. We go right into the heart and we do that. It doesn't matter if we see 1,000 people are coming or one. What we're doing is we're breaking up something in the heavenlies. We're creating an atmosphere in our city. Amen? And things are going to start happening and things are going to start breaking in the heavenlies because we're declaring the praises of our God.
Amen.
And when we declare the praises of our God, these things, God will start to send His angels, His warring angels over our city. And all of a sudden people are going to start to come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they're not going to know what's happening, but they're going to know that I need to get saved. I need to get my heart right because I'm in trouble with God.
It's
powerful stuff. Thank you, Jesus. So don't say, I can't. Say, I can.
Amen.
If God says do it, He's going to back you up.
That's right.
Matthew 28, go into all the world, right? And preach the gospel. We are to do that. Folks, God wants us to reach the nations. And He's going to do it through little old you and I. We're going to see extraordinary things come to pass, even out of this fellowship. I'm prophesying that it is true that God is going to do extraordinary things. He already is. But we're only getting started here of what God's going to do. We need to continue to speak it, walk it, believe it. Keep sowing in the Holy Spirit. Keep sowing in the heavenlies. Amen.
Amen.
Keep praising and declaring His praises. Reach in, call your family in. Call them in. Say it, you know. I call you into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Start calling in them. Call in those wayward kids. Call them in. Be tenacious. Hallelujah. Take authority over those spirits that are controlling their minds. Cast them out in Jesus' name. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That is our assignment. We are to go and make disciples. We are to win the lost and disciple them for Jesus. We are to bring them to a place of maturity where they will now reproduce also and do the same thing. Amen. It's not about perpetually coming and listening to a pastor. It's about you and I as a team in the boat together, rowing in the same direction and affecting change in the earth. Hallelujah. And so we take this gospel and we go one heart at a time and we sow into people's lives. Just keep sowing the seed. You may not see immediate results. Just sow the seed. If they're open even for a little while, sow a little seed in there and let the Holy Spirit germinate it. All right? Don't overwhelm them with it. Just start sowing seed and speaking the word and the words of life. I've seen this happen in my own experience where it took years, but after sowing into certain people's lives, little by little by little, I'd seen fruit come. I've seen these people get saved. And so we just be tenacious, be determined that that seed is good seed. The word of God will accomplish what it was set out to do. So fear not, for I'm with you, and I will be with you wherever you go. Do not fear what man can do to you. What is man that he's mindful of him? We're just grasshoppers, right? Compared to Almighty God. But we have a mighty God on our side who has given us His endorsement. You go. I'm sending you forth. Amen. How many are ready to go for it? Yeah. How many of you are ready to go and talk to people about Jesus?
Let's go.
Let me encourage you, even tonight, folks, don't let another day go by. But if you are tormented by fear in this area, I want you to press into God. I mean, get on your knees, get on your face before God. Cry out, call out to God, say, God, I want this stuff out of me. I want this fear out of me. And I want your faith. I want your love shed abroad in my heart. And if there's something in my life that's hindering me or getting in the way of what you want to accomplish in me and through me, then Lord, deal with it. I want it out of my life. I want to be a vessel that is filled with your glory. Amen. Yeah. With your love so that the world will see the reality. And they're going to know we are Christians by our love. I mean, and it's the love, the higher love. It's the love that's willing to sacrifice. It's the love that's willing to suffer. I could go on and on and on. I mentioned this morning that you get married, you start to suffer. Love suffers. You do suffer in a marriage. There's times when things don't go right. There's times when you get into it. There's times when you hurt each other. I haven't met a perfect marriage yet. But if you've got a perfect marriage, I'd like to find out the formula. But we have some that are better. We forgive a lot, don't we? But true love pays a price. Amen. And there's suffering involved in true love. But true love has roots that will endure. Amen. That will stand strong. That tree will stand. Even though there's adversity that comes against that relationship, when your roots go deep, you can stand, amen, the test of time, and you can stick it out. Just endure. Love endures all things. It endures. It stands in there. It says, I will be tenacious. I will, amen, persevere. It has to be an agreement. How many know our relationship with God is an agreement? Yes. It's consensual. It's a choice we make to be yes. I say yes to Jesus. So it is in any relationship. There has to be consent. It has to work both ways. But we endure and we would be willing to suffer, even for our relationships within the body of Christ. We've got to be willing to suffer for one another for the sake of peace. Amen. Sometimes we're going to have to be wrong so that we can have peace. Sometimes you're going to have to endure somebody not being fair.